Well, I'm very happy to be able to give thanks to God on this, my 22nd anniversary. I hope I'm not being presumptuous to think that many of you are here for this occasion. It's not only about me, but it's about giving thanks to God. Well, some people are here for their wedding anniversary, so. But it's right to give thanks to God for the gift of the priesthood. The priesthood is an extraordinary gift. I love St. John Paul II's expression, it's gift and mystery, gift and mystery. Gift not only to the man who's ordained, but a gift to the church. Where would we be without priests? Where would the church be without priests? So we are right to give thanks to God, and that's what this celebration is all about, thanksgiving to God. An anniversary, a priestly anniversary, is not that different from a anniversary of a marriage. Naturally, we think back to the day itself, what happened on that day. And then we also think of all that came about because of that day. In the case of a family, usually people gather with their children and their grandchildren. For me, that's you. You're my children and my grandchildren, even though most of you are older than I am. But anyway, it's the spiritual family of the priest, the flock of the shepherd. I think back to 22 years ago, some of the people who were there are no longer in this life. My father has passed away, my mother's passed away. Father Francis passed away before they did. And then Sister Barbara, who's not even 2 years since she died, she's gone ahead of us. And I think of them as waiting for me, as also still interceding for me, since they were so supportive of my priesthood in this world. They would certainly be supportive of the priesthood in the next. Yesterday, I learned about a friend of mine who died, was also instrumental in my journey. I'm talking about Father Valerio, one of the Somascan priests. Some of you might know him because he's been here. I just learned, I was talking to another Somascan friend yesterday, and he told me that Father Valerio died of COVID 2 years ago, and I just didn't know about it. So I want to offer this Mass for Father Valerio. Father Valerio Fenoglio is an Italian Somascan missionary. When I entered the seminary and I had no place to stay, all the formation houses in Tagaytay closed their doors to me, and the Somascans were not particularly warm to the idea either, but Father Valerio was the rector at the time, and he said, well, let's give him a try. Let's try it for a month, and we can kick him out if it doesn't work out. So I am grateful to Father Valerio, my friend, and he died of COVID on February 3rd, 2021, so more than 2 years ago already, and I just found out yesterday. The bishop who ordained me is still alive, Bishop Cabrera, and thanks be to God. It's because of Bishop Cabrera that the ordination, partly because of him, because the ordination is on this date in Alaminos, Pangasinan, where he was the bishop then, where I was ordained. There was a priestly ordination in March of 2001, three priests. And originally I was going to join that batch, but Bishop Cabrera said, wait, you haven't finished your seminary studies yet. I was just finishing up my fourth year of theology. And he said, no, I won't ordain someone who hasn't finished. So to his sacrifice, because he could easily have combined us all into one big ceremony, instead he did two ordinations in 2 months. And my ordination was in April, a small affair by comparison to the ordination of three priests from the area. But still, I give thanks for Bishop Cabrera. And this date, even though Bishop Cabrera's rule was after I graduated from the seminary, what we decided, especially Father Francis, was that I should be ordained on a feast day of Marian, or a feast day of Marian priests. And of course I got the jackpot here because it's the feast day of St. Peter Chanel, a Marist priest and martyr, and St. Louis de Montfort, the great author of The True Devotion to Mary. So they're both patrons of mine. Now, we're not here only to talk about me or to reflect on me. What we're really doing is reflecting on how the work of God enters into time. So these memories that I'm sharing now are maybe not as significant to you, but what is significant is the idea of memory. Remembering what God did in the past is not simply a recall of a past event. It's also to be reawakened to what God is doing now, because God is not in time. The same God who acted 22 years ago or 39 years ago is the same God acting now with the same love, with the same divine plan. And this is actually a gift that we gained from the Jews. We inherited from the Jews the insight into the importance of memory. That memory is a way of making present what we are aware of happened in the past. When the Jews celebrate Passover, they're not only celebrating what happened a long time ago, they're celebrating what God is doing now. And this is what we do even more, because not only did God work in time, but God entered into time in Jesus Christ and sanctified time. So our memory of what God has done in time is a very important part of our faith journey. I'm building up to the readings now. The first reading is the story of this conversion of Saul. And an extraordinary moment in his life, in the life of the church, in the life of the world. It's a historical moment. On a certain day, at a certain place, along the road to Damascus, God revealed, Jesus Christ revealed himself to Saul. Saul, Saul. But it's not only the recall of an event way back then, way far, far, far away. It's also an understanding of God calling us. Saul isn't the only one who's called by name. All of us are called by name to do the mission that God wants us to do. The story of Saul's conversion is repeated three times in the Acts of the Apostles. It's another sign that memory is important. The first account is the one we just heard, our first reading. That's St. Luke telling us what happened. And then later on in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul will share his own conversion story to the Jews of Jerusalem. They weren't too happy to hear it, but he told the story because this is how we celebrate what God has done. He called us, he is calling us, he sent us, he is sending us. So to recall what happened is also to celebrate what is happening and what will happen. And then later on in Acts of the Apostles, he tells his story again to King Agrippa and his sister, and he gets a mixed response that time too. But you can be sure that is not the only two times Paul told the story of his conversion. He told that story hundreds of times because it was so significant, not only for him, but also for the fulfillment of his mission. Now, this is what we do. I celebrate every year on April 28th, I celebrate my anniversary. I'll tell the story again if you want, because it's part of how God has acted in time. But it's also a lesson to all of us, God acting in time. Now, when God acts in time, he does things that surprise us. In Paul's case, well, no one expected Paul to be chosen, but God said to Ananias, "This man is a chosen instrument of mine." So God, what God sees and what we see is different. And this is very important when we reflect on the priesthood, because why does God choose the men he chooses? Who knows? Well, first of all, he doesn't have anyone qualified. No one is qualified to be a priest. So he has to choose some sinners, and he does. He chooses chosen instruments. He gives them the grace to do his work, and he sends them out. Thanks be to God. Today's gospel is also part of the memory of the church. This is Jesus continuing to explain the deep meaning of the bread of life, the bread that comes down from heaven, the fulfillment of the gift of the manna way back in the desert. Now he's at the point where he's saying, not only is did God give you bread from heaven, he is giving you bread from heaven. This bread from heaven is myself it is my flesh. Now, once he gets to this equation of the bread from heaven being his flesh, he has crossed the line, and it's very hard to take. This is where we pick up the story in today's gospel. Now, this is something that we are recalling happened when Jesus said these words in a synagogue in Capernaum. This is not the Last Supper. This is Jesus preparing for the Last Supper and the gift of the Eucharist. And the apostles who heard this troubling language recalled it later, and John, who was there, is the one who wrote it down. So this is what we have. Memory, which is alive to this day. It says here, the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Good question. Good question. What could he possibly mean? You have to eat me. You have to drink my blood. It's repulsive. It's troubling. It's confusing, at least, if not worse. And so they say, what can he mean? How can he possibly? What is he talking about? And Jesus makes it even clearer. This is exactly what he means. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. He says it over and over again. My flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. There's no way we can misunderstand what he's saying here. We have to eat and drink him. So this is a very hard thing to accept. Unless we accept who he is, and we can accept how God has entered into time and made it possible for his life to be our life. We know this is it's not a turning point in the way that conversion of Saul was a turning point, because he changed direction. This is a deepening. This is more like an anniversary. My ordination was not a turning point for me. It was confirmation of the journey I was already on. Same with marriage. Marriage isn't a turning point. You love each other and you make a public commitment to each other. That seals that love. Here, in fact, if you want to talk about a turning point, it was a turning point for those who wouldn't accept it. We'll hear that in tomorrow's gospel. Some people said, this is too much to take, and they left. They turned away. But Jesus' intention here is to make us know how great is the gift he's giving us in the Eucharist, so that we will live forever. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life. Now he's preparing for the Last Supper, in which he will say, this is my body, do this in memory of me. He's not saying it here. He's not saying do this in memory, because he hasn't done it yet. Sometimes people who don't believe in the Eucharist say that Jesus isn't talking about the same thing here, because in John chapter 6, he uses the word flesh, and at the Last Supper, he uses the word body. Catholics don't care about this, because what's the difference between flesh and body? They're kind of related. You know, if you eat my flesh, you eat my body. It's two different words in Greek. The word for flesh is sarx, S-A-R-X. The word for body, soma, S-O-M-A, soma. And it's true, they're two different words, and they are not exactly the same. Even in English, they're not exactly the same, but they're almost interchangeable. And in this setting, he's certainly talking about the same thing. Eat my body, drink my blood. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. The word for blood is the same in both cases. Now, the gift of the Eucharist was so scandalous that people turned away. Nowadays, I don't hear about people turning away from the church because of the scandal of the Eucharist. I hear about more people turning away from the church because of the scandal of the priesthood. Since this is the celebration of a priestly ordination, we have to recognize that the sacrament of the priesthood is scandalous, that God chooses men to be his instruments. It's as much a scandal now as it was that he chose Saul, the persecutor, to be an apostle. What right did he have to choose Saul, the enemy of the church? What right did he have to choose Matthew, the tax collector? What right did he have to choose Judas, the betrayer? What is God doing? Well, this is why it's so important to have memory. We remember God choosing unqualified men and seeing how he still works through them. And that applies to me and every priest and every person. God chooses the unqualified, he chooses the sinners, he chooses the lowly, the poor, he chooses the people that the world would not even notice, and he uses them as his instruments. That's all of us. So as we celebrate our memory of the conversion of Saul, we celebrate our memory of the gift of the bread of life, which becomes present here on the altar. We celebrate my ordination anniversary, and we celebrate the gift and the scandal of the priesthood. We open our hearts to God at work in time. God is always now. God is always in the present moment. And when we open our hearts to him, we're not just remembering, we're realizing that he is with us, acting right now. Thanks be to God.